You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, if there are no more announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading today. It's in Psalms 105, verses 5 through 12. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham his servant, ye children of Jacob his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Well, let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have in this country to be able to gather together in fellowship and to worship you in song and in word and in study, that we are not harassed by our government, that we're not harassed by other religions, that we have that freedom. We thank you for that as you've established it. And this month we celebrated our independence and the liberty that you've blessed us with. May we continually be vigilant about preserving that liberty and the freedoms that we enjoy. We thank you during this time of election that we can have a choice between candidates who are faithful, constitutional people, who are Christians, who want to serve this country out of a heart that loves this country and reveres its foundations. If we have candidates that don't have that perspective, we pray that they be defeated in this primary and in the November election. We pray, Father, now that as we study your word, that we might be built up in a faith that honors you and brings glory to your Son. And this we pray, Father, in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Kind of bring our thinking together. We are in the middle of Psalms. We're just looking at these three chapters in the Psalms, 104, 105, and 106, and they're kind of a history of the New Testament. The Psalms 104, as we studied it, was a look at the creation and the power of God as he established the heavens and the earth, and as he recreated the earth. And we looked a little bit at that, and from a scientific point of view. And then Psalms 105, last time we were together, we began with that. And turn with me, if you would, to that passage. And I started in verse 5. It's here that we begin after the days of creation, and we begin to see that God begins to deal with one man, one nation, the nation Israel. And how God, in his promise to them, has not forgotten his promise to them. Many today think that they are spiritual Israel. And many today will claim, well, we're not Israel and we haven't taken the place of Israel in God's prophetic plan. But yet they claim all the promise to Israel, even hijacking their heavenly Jerusalem. Is that fair? Yeah. Yeah, it is. And yet when you go and you begin to search the scriptures with them and to study with them, it's like they have blinders on. And that's why God says, and I started here in verse 5 because I want us to see this verse 5. He says, remember. We are to remember. That is one of the hardest things for us to do, isn't it? We write lists so that we can remember. But then we have to remember to have the list with us. I've told you some of my funny ones on forgetfulness. Like the one where the guy went to the doctor and said, Doc, I've got a problem. He says, what is it? And he said, I'm just forgetting things. He says, well, when do you have this problem? And he looks at the doctor and says, what problem? I've told you some of these, but my favorite has been this one. The couple is having dinner together, and after a beautiful meal, the women get up and they kind of clean the dishes off and they go to the kitchen to talk, and the two men are sitting there at the dinner table and they're going, boy, that was really a good meal. And one guy says, oh, I got to tell you about this restaurant my wife and I went to last night. It is a great restaurant. The food and the service, it's just terrific. And the guy says, what's the name of the restaurant? Yeah, the fella just sits there a minute and he looks at his friend and he goes, what's the name of that that really pretty flower? You know, it's red and it's got thorns. And the guy goes, Rose. He goes, yeah. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we went to last night? God calls us to remember. And that's mainly because God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. We'll see that in just a minute. But God wants us to remember. And some of the things that help us remember, he covers in verses 1 through 4. Look at verse 1 of Psalms 105. He says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Three things right there. These are vitamins. These are like spiritual weightlifting. These are things we need to do in order to be able to grow in the Spirit, to be full of the knowledge of God, to be filled with his goodness and his mercy, to have the Spirit active in our life. These are the things God wants us to do. He says, give thanks, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people. Verse 2, sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Verse 3, glory. We're to glory in his holy name. Too often today we see men take his name in vain and never challenged about it. And never challenged about it. Boy, that's boldness, you know. Wouldn't that be bold? You hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain and say, you know, excuse me, but that is my Father in heaven. And I don't appreciate you speaking about him like that. So if you don't mind, would you not do that again? Verse 4, seek him. And not only seek him, but look at what it says. Seek his strength. What is the strength of the Lord? I think the strength of the Lord is in his word. A soft word turns away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. Seek him and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And in verse 5, remember his marvelous... You know, actually he says remember three things in this verse. Can you find them? First one, marvelous works. Second one, what is it? His wonders. His wonders. We just got through on Sunday night. We've been watching this DVD and we finished it a couple of weeks ago. The Wonders of God, or the God of Wonders. That's the name of it. The God of Wonders. I'll never forget it. I may forget everything else. Now, what was I talking about? No. I may forget everything else, but I'll never forget that hummingbird. And it's just like that slow motion. And you see him just sitting there in that tail, just kind of keeping him balanced and those wings going, but they're flying, and then that long beak, and he sets it right in the flower, and he sucks up that. I'll never forget that. Well, there may be one day I forget everything. You know, it's so good to be here this morning. You know, there may be a day in life, and it doesn't happen to everybody. It doesn't happen to everybody, but there may be a day in life you might not remember Northside Bible Church. And that won't be your fault. That won't be your fault at all. It's just part of that aging process and what we go through. But it's great to be here, and it's great to be here today. And if that day ever comes where you don't remember Northside Bible Church, you don't remember, you might think, oh, I used to go to church. When somebody brings you your meal and gives you your pills and someone's there just spending time with you because they're getting paid for it. Or maybe it's because they love you. And it's a family member or something. That may happen. But that's not your fault. There's a lot of things that are your fault. You ought to be kind of concerned and worried about that. But that day won't be your fault. I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad you're able to enjoy this today. And I hope it is something you enjoy. Verse 5, remember his marvelous works. What are some of the things that he's done? Well, we looked at them in Psalms 104. One of them is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But there's so much more that we need to look at real quick. And let's go run through this, okay? Run with me back to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we kind of looked at the fact that God didn't create it in vain. He didn't create it tahu babohu. It became that way. God created a perfect creation. And what happened was the rebellion of Lucifer. And we looked at some of the passages that dealt with that. And then in chapter 1, he begins to recreate the earth. He does it in 6 days on the seventh day, in verse 14. I'm sorry. Verse chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. I don't know if God really needs a rest, but everything that God does has a purpose and a plan for it, and I know one of the things that he has in regard to that seventh day of rest is that man rest. And that's one of the laws he gave his people. That's one of the Ten Commandments. That's one of the things that God established with the nation Israel. But on chapter 2, he talks about making man and woman. And chapter 3, look what happens in this beautiful Eden, this garden that God has created. The serpent steps in. Chapter 3, we have the fall of man. We have sin enters the world by one man, Adam. We have the curse, verse 15. Of chapter 3, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, and he, her seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Chapter 3 goes on and finishes with the blessing of driving man out of the garden. Oh, wait a minute. You call that a blessing? Yeah. God didn't. God always blesses man, no matter if it's chastening or if it's a reward. You don't have that attitude? You need that attitude. God chastens those whom he loves. And no chastening is fun, but don't lose sight of the fact that you're a child of God when he's chastening you. Adam was driven out of the garden because Adam couldn't exist in the garden. He couldn't consist in the garden. But he could now outside. Chapter 4, Adam and Eve have children. There's Cain, there's Abel. We see the way of Cain. What's the way of Cain? The way of Cain is, I'll worship God my way. And you can worship God your way. We're not going to argue about it. Let's just have an open mind. Let's just have an open mind about it, and I'll worship God my way. But when God rebukes that, Cain gets mad, and what does Cain do? Cain kills his brother, Abel. Abel had a more acceptable sacrifice. What was that? Abel worshiped God the way God said he should be worshiped, with sacrifice. So Cain is booted out. Chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of the generation of Adam. So here we're seeing how God did, how God performed this marvelous work. He has a whole generation of Adam. Adam has another son, Seth, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. To me, that's a marvelous work, to live 930 years. Marvelous work. As man began to multiply, chapter 6, the sons of God see that the women of men were fair, and they came down and they cohabitated with them here on the earth, and this brought on the flood. Another marvelous work of God. God says in chapter 6, verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. You think it's bad now. Can you imagine what it was like back then? Because when God looked at the earth, he found only one man and his family. Eight people, eight souls worth saving. Boy, I mean, it's bad now. But it was a lot worse back then. A lot worse back then. Verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah has a wife. They have three sons. They build an ark. They get in the ark. The floods come. Chapter 7. Judgment of the flood falls. Verse 5. Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Verse 15, they went in unto Noah, unto the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the rains began to pour out of heaven. And for 40 days, this went on. And all the earth perished, except save for Noah and his family. Chapter 8 now. Genesis chapter 8. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. Verse 4. The ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mounts of Ararat. Amazing stuff. These are the wonders of God. And it leads to God making a promise. Chapter 9. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply. Verse 12. Now back at verse 11. I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Verse 16, that bow that's up there in the sky when you see the rainbow shall be in the clouds, and I'll look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Wow. Why are you going through all this? These are marvelous works. And you'll be surprised at how many of God's people don't know them. They don't know them. You know why that is? That's because, you know, people say the Bible is an open book. But it's not. It's a book that needs to be opened. You don't want the Bible to be an open book. You know what I'm saying? I mean, have you ever heard this phrase? You got to have an open mind about this. What does that mean? That means throw away everything that you believe and what you have found to be true, and let's just start from scratch. But there are people that says the Bible is an open book. And the Bible needs to be an open book. That's like having a living constitution. That's like playing Monopoly with my grandson. The rules change as you go along. You go, whoa, wait a minute. Y'all ever had that problem? I've had that problem with adults. You work on a committee, and I remember when we were passing an appraisal licensing law, and on that committee for establishing the rules and the regulations that would enforce the law amongst the members of the appraisal community, I would sit on that committee. And the people would just start firing from the hip. Well, let's have a rule that does this. And let's have a rule that does that. But if you've read the law, they didn't have the power to do that under the law. So what they were doing is they were taking a very confined law and they were stretching it out to do what they wanted to do, not thinking ahead that the same rules that they were setting up were going to turn right around and apply to them. Well, they thought they were above those rules. They didn't break those kind of laws. And in those committee meetings, I'd always go, wait a minute, we don't have the authority under the state law to do that, to make that kind of a rule. Huh? Have you read the law? Well, I've looked at it. You know what I'm talking about. We got people right now in the highest offices of our land condemning a law in Arizona. Calling it racist, unconstitutional. And then when asked, well, did you read it? They went, well, yeah, I've looked at, or someone told me, I'm just going by what the news says. They haven't read the law. Now I've forgotten how I got off on that trail. But we're looking at this because this is the marvelous work of God. People need to know this book. It's not an open book. If it's an open book, then that's how we have... We have homosexual pastors in church. Well, we could be in trouble here. I better stop. No, that's where it's going. That's where it's going. If we don't elect the right people, if we don't get the right people in office, mark my words, one of these days they're going to tax your email and they're going to tell you how you can worship. You think not? There's not another country in this world that enjoys the liberties and the freedoms that we do. And they don't like it. The devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. Well, chapter 9. We see that Noah has three sons. Noah commits sin, verse 24. Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant." Servant. It's serpent, too. I was listening to a guy talk about this relationship between Israel and Canaan. That's Palestine. That's the enemy over there. Okay? You know, when Israel came into the land, guess who was already in the land? The Canaanite. Okay. And they're still there. And a lot of history books now are rewriting history. Are you aware of this? They don't want you to know of the, when they talk about ancient history, about some little country called Israel. We don't, oh yeah, they might give a little paragraph, "Jesus was born in Israel." And that's about all you'll get. It's said in the public schools. And it's not just in the public schools, it's in the ancient history that's taught in Europe and in Asia, in Australia and South America. No, it's in their history books too. It's not just an attack on our history books. They'll make you think that Israel doesn't even exist. And yet, where has the fight been from the beginning? You tell me, where's that fight been? Yeah. And where can, right now, at any moment, can that powder keg blow up? Yeah. So that's what happens when you have an open mind about things. They start closing some things out. That's what happens when you have an open book. The book needs to be opened. People need to know it. People need to study this. They need to see chapter 10. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, verse 1. He goes through all of this, chapter 11. All these people. Off the sons of Noah. Verse 1 of chapter 11. The whole earth was one language and one speech. They come together in the Tower of Babel. They're anti-God. They're pro-man. And they're called humanists. Oh, well, they're not called humanists here, but that's what they are. Chapter 11 ends with verse 31. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran his son's son and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with him unto Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee." And Abram goes. And Abram has a son in his old age named Isaac. And Isaac marries Rebekah, and they have two sons, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob is later changed his name to Israel. And Jacob has 12 sons. And one of them, Joseph, is sold into slavery. And he goes into Egypt because there's a famine coming and God is providing. And this is something that people forget about. The providence of God in their life. The providence of God. Come back to Psalms 105. All that providence, divine providence, you ever look it up? You really enjoy the study. The doctrine of divine providence or just providence. And sometimes God is called providence. Our founding fathers knew about it. And God's people knew about it. And all it means is that the activity of God, not just in a general sense where everything is moving and consistent in Him, and I don't have time to go into that, and I had a whole section to talk about that. I had verses and everything. Everything moves and has its being in Him, but we're not going to look at that. We're going to take it for granted. It couldn't consist without Christ. My dad used to say if he took his mind off of anything, it would evaporate like that. Everything holds together. Every molecule, every bond, everything that holds us together is because of Christ. That's what Paul teaches in Colossians. But here in verse 5, David writes, "Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders in the judgment of his mouth, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen," Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. "He's the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." I'll tell you, one of those judgments we read about there in chapter 3, "I'll put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent." And it's been that way ever since. One of those judgments. Verse 8, "He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac." Next week we're going to look at that promise. We're going to follow that promise. I think we need to, it would be easy just to kind of do a brief overlay of this and go all the way through. You can see in chapter 105, verse 17, he begins to talk about Joseph. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he had laid in iron until the time that his word came. Whose word? Until the time of God's word. So what we've looked at is this real quickly, and we're going to look a little more in depth next time. We've looked at the power of God, we've looked at the promise of God, and we're going to see the providence of God, how He makes these things happen. And that's what Psalms 105 is doing. It's going through the history, and it's a history lesson. And what it does is it builds us up and it supports us. One of the neat things about it, and we'll close with this, we'll come back to it next week, is that when God begins to make this promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the Gentiles are included as a second-class citizen. And so when we get to the end of Acts and we find out that they are divorced, Acts 28, verse 25, "And now the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles." If God didn't have that planned in His providential care, in His divine providence, if He didn't already have that plan devised before the overthrow of the world, the cosmos, that perfect order God created, if He didn't have that plan, what plan? The plan of His hidden purpose, the fellowship, as He calls it, of the mystery. If God didn't have it, then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, where it says, "We were without any hope in the world," we were without hope. Because all the promises were in Abraham. All the promises belong to Israel. Romans chapter 9. That's another one of the things we need to remember as we study Scripture. We need to always remember these things, study them, but keep them in their proper context and rightly divide them. We'll see a better comparison of that next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the blessing of Your Word, Your marvelous works, Your wonders. We thank You, Father, for Your great love and the plan for all the ages of Your Son Christ, and that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. We praise You for that. We thank You, Father, for it. In His name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.